guys. Jared and the GM live today at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Ottawa tonight. That game at 7 o'clock. Hal Gill going to join us in just a little bit. By the way, I got some heat for Hal, so I hope he's ready. But more importantly, I could not be more upset to work with Floyd Reese today.
More upset?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You have flip-flopped on Tua. I mean, after the first 6 weeks of the year, everybody believed Tua was the best player in the country, was going to win the Heisman. Then the last
Then
the last week, you flip-flopped.
No.
To say Murray's better.
About midway through the year, I remember us coming, and I said, you know what? I don't know if this guy can play a whole game. Every time I look up, he's down. And he's limping off, and he's limping. They're carrying him off again. He's got another brace, and And I remember us talking about it, and I'm saying, man, oh, man, he is hurt all the time. And then by the time it got to the SEC game, I told you the day afterwards, after the game, I go, he just lost the Heisman.
Oh, yeah, no, you said it.
I said, he lost the Heisman last night. When you can't finish that game and Hurts goes in and lights it up, then, you know, you haven't done anything that Hurts couldn't have done.
Now, the other point that drives me crazy.
Yes.
Is you saying that if Tua was at Oklahoma, he'd get hurt. Tua, if he was at Oklahoma, would throw for 5,000 yards
a game. If Tua was at Oklahoma, he would be dead. Because he doesn't have near the protection at Oklahoma that he does at Alabama.
But he's playing bad defense.
No.
In the Big 12?
He's playing all pass rush, all cover, and you have no offensive line. Now, you take Kyler and put him in Alabama. He is unmolested. He throws for 100 million yards and runs for 200 million. So.
I just can't believe how much you flip-flopped on it. That's
I didn't flip-flop. He did.
He flip-flopped?
Yes.
How?
He went from the best in the country early to where he couldn't finish games.
He got robbed. He got robbed. But and what do you think about Trevor putting him fourth?
Trev is a well-respected ESPN guru on college football. And he has his reasons. Now, I couldn't have put him behind a defensive lineman. And I really couldn't have put him behind Haskins. I mean, I think he's at worst too, right? Just the way it finished.
No, he was the best player in the country.
And oh, no.
I feel like everyone is using that he didn't play four quarters against him. Like, that's a good thing because he's throwing so many touchdown passes because he's so good that he's not playing into the fourth quarter.
I know, and that's when I said he was playing great. That's when I said he's going to win the Heisman. That's when I said he's number one. But then the longer I watched,
the more concerned you got?
Yes. The more he was laying on the ground hurt, and the less touchdown passes he was throwing.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Alex is up next on the Heisman. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. And, Floyd, you are so right on this. I just can't, let me tell you guys, before this season even started, I took a futures pick, and it was Kyler Murray and Pat Mahomes to win the MVP, and that's my Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory ticket. But, hey, this comparison, Jarrett kind of reminds me to when you compared Sam Bradford to Mariota early in the season, and now you're kind of flip-flopping on that too. So we gotta check them and keep them honest, Floyd.
I don't even remember talking about it. What did I say about Sam Bradford? What did I say about Sam Bradford?
I think you compared him.
No, that was what's his name that the cancer gala did? Sean Farnham said that Mariota was the Sam Bradford of the AFC. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. And I totally stand by that. I mean, Mariota's better than Sam Bradford. Now, I said that Sam Bradford should be the backup to Mariota. I have no problem with that.
Oh, I do remember you saying that.
Do you have a problem with Sam Bradford? I mean, he's better than Blaine Gabbert. And then you were like, well, he's never been in this offense, so that would be kind of tough.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, he's going to want to make about $12 million.
Let's go to Don, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What you got, Don?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, go.
Hey, so I was listening to your discussion about if Tua was at Oklahoma, and I think the other gentleman said that he wouldn't have the protection, but that's kind of, but it's kind of ignorant if you don't take into perspective that Oklahoma probably has top two, top three, maybe the best offensive line in the country. Kyler Murray's been successful. He doesn't have to run. He just happens to have 4.3, 4.4 speed. I am biased. Obviously, I'm an Oklahoma fan living in Nashville. But if Tua was in Oklahoma, he'd be Kyler's backup. If Kyler was in Alabama, he would have the same yardage, maybe even better because he has a defensive support. But Tua would be his backup in Alabama as well.
Tua was the best recruit in the country.
That's great. Kyler Murray was Mr. Texas football 2 years in a row, never lost a game in high school, won three state championships. I mean, I'm
just telling you, like, he was the number one, thank you for the call, the number one recruit. Like, that's the number one guy always plays. Have you ever seen the movie The Program?
He always plays. Let me say this. I mean, Kyler Murray was the number one, too. Somewhere,
at A&M.
Somehow. I don't know where. How, but
Ron is up next on the Vanderbilt Athletic Director. Thank you for calling. What's up, Ron?
Hey, man. Hey, I think this is the first step for Vandy to leave the SEC. They need to look at a lower-level conference where they would compete. And, you know, if they start winning in a lower-level conference, they might get more fans, and then they can grow their program that way. Floyd, you're the logical one there. What do you think about that?
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of said that for a while. Now,
I mean, hey, I if you want a minor league team, why not hire a minor league commissioner?
Yeah, they're never gonna give up that SEC money. You know, that's the big issue, and because of that, they're gonna hang in there as long as they can, and if that means
if you were commissioner of the SEC and you saw this across your ticker, or if you got an email, or they called you and said, hey, we're gonna hire this guy with zero college sports experience to be our AD, would you pick up the phone and call them and say, no, you're not? Or would you just say, whatever, it's Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, it's so funny because even Trev, you know, when I said, well, what can all the other teams do? They really don't care. You know, I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. It's like, you know what?
Well, but are the Steelers supposed to care if the Browns hire nobody's a coach?
No, that's right. I mean, you know what? The teams and being at New England, being places where you have a chance to win a few games, when you see those kind of things happen, it's like the draft. When we used to go through the draft.
Bonus picks?
Yeah. Somebody would make a pay. It'd be somebody's turn to pick, and you go, here comes a bonus pick. Sure enough, they pull something out of the air. It has nothing to do with where you are on the board or whether needs are or anything else. You go, hey, there you go. Somebody's going to get a free player down the line. But those teams, those franchises, on a yearly basis would do the same thing. And all you do is shake your head. You're thinking they just it must be something in the water. They're just never going to get right.
Speaking of getting right, I have a hot take about the Predators. I expect the Predators to play a lot better than they played in Canada over the weekend. I expect them to play a lot better next. But I have a hot take about the Preds with their recent injury problems, and we will get to those with Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, next on Jared and the GM. We're live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. GM are live out at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Ottawa tonight, 7 o'clock ESPN 102.5 The Game, with the voice of the National Predators, Pete Weber, at 7 o'clock. And he'll be joined by former Preds defenseman, current Preds radio analyst, Hal Gill, who joins us, brought to you by Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant. Harold, how are you today?
I'm terrific. It's nice to be here in the Barrel House. It's very festive in here with a tree. Nothing says Christmas like a Christmas tree right on your desk.
Hard for you to miss that one, isn't it?
Kind of wondering where my menorah is. I feel kind of left out, but that's okay.
We'll spin the dreidel later.
So, I have a hot take for you. I did not like how the Preds played on that road trip. Did not like it one bit, but that's okay. Because even though Arvidsson's going to be out for a while, Forsberg's going to be out for a while, I don't know how long PK's out for, I don't know how long Turris is out for, I feel like even if they lose some games now, it may actually be better in the long run, because last year they coasted, you know, that last 2 months of the year where everybody knew was taking a day off each and every game. And if you're in a dogfight for the division or something like that, maybe you kind of keep your focus down the stretch. You don't win the cursed President's Trophy, and you go into the playoffs on a heater. So, Hal Gill, I start there. Is it really the end of the world if the Preds struggle while all these guys are out, or is it actually maybe a good thing when we're thinking playoffs?
I think you could take it as a good thing. I don't think you want to say, hey, let's go out and lose some games so that will, you know, get rid of that curse, that President's Trophy curse. But I think it's good for a team to go through some struggles, go through some ups and downs. The team I was on with Pittsburgh that won the Cup, we were in 11th place with 25 games left. And we ended up with home ice, and like you said, we went in hot and found a way to win. I think with the injuries, guys are, you know, you have to step up into different roles. You have to do different things. You have to heighten your game a little bit, and I think maybe that's a good thing. I agree with you, Jared.
I thought he was for sure going to be like, no, you never want the team to lose. You never want it.
I will say, you can't panic too much. The two losses on the road, they had some injuries, and then they won two games at home, which was big. Remember that. That's not too far ago where the Preds battled out two big wins at home. They go on the road against some Calgary was a hot team. Vancouver, that game kind of stunk, but Vancouver looked good. They played a really good game. So, you know, you tip your hat to them and you move on. You lose two games. Now you say, all right, hey, guys, we got to figure this out.
Now, here's the other side of this. Where are the goals going to come from with Arvidsson, Forsberg out? Because, like, I know you can get one from Sissons, or you can get a couple from Yarncroak, or you can – but, like, who's actually going to score on this team? Because there's too many times where a guy gets the puck in front of the net and you get excited and you're like, oh, you know, maybe an opportunity. Oh, it's Salamaki. Never mind. And there's too many times, Hal, that's been happening of late.
You need to remember that there's a reason why Victor Arvidsson makes as much money as he does. There's a reason why Philip Forsberg makes as much money as – these guys are elite players. There's a reason that – They go out and score goals. It's not easy to score in the NHL. Now, I look through the Preds lineup, and you look at guys that future of the Preds. You know, Kevin Fiala, Cali Yarncroak, Ryan Hartman. All these guys, they're where the team is going. They need to elevate their game to get to where the Preds want to be. And so I think this is a time where you look at these guys to step up. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to kind of force their hand for a little while, put them in situations. Maybe they get a little more power play time that Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson would be taking. I think guys like Colton Sissons, I think, has played fantastic. I think he's really stepped up. You know, you look at these guys. Kevin Fiala had his spots where, you know, you say, ah, it's there. And you're just getting more battle tested, so to speak. And I think maybe that's a good thing for these guys.
We in the NFL, we talked about this earlier, you often compare like a backup quarterback. And you say, okay, now the backup quarterback, I want him to come in and play a game or two, you know, yeah, and win the game. But I don't want him to play eight.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the comparison is to hockey, but I would imagine with all these injuries, you're saying to yourself, okay, you know, for eight games, we should be okay, but I'm not sure we need him to play 20 games.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing?
I agree 100%. I was just, as Jared, you were saying, I was writing down my notes, doing my homework here, and the thing I wrote, you have injuries, and then you have guys step up. And that's a big part, is that quarterback coming in, the backup QB comes in and gets a job done for two games. And now, can he stay up? That's the hard part. You're running off adrenaline. You're so focused. You're in the mix. And then all of a sudden, you know, two or three games goes by, and now you got to stay up. You got to continue to do that. You know, it's tough with injuries. You don't know how long they're going to be, and you don't know how long you're going to need those guys to keep their game elevated. But that's when they can prove themselves, and that's when that backup quarterback doesn't become a backup quarterback anymore, because someone other team says, hey, we got to get this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when Garoppolo goes to the 49ers, you know, and says, all right, now you get your shot. So these guys are all looking to do that, and that's the challenge.
What did you see in the Canadian trip these last couple of games that you didn't like?
I didn't like the defensive zone coverage. I thought it was a lot of times they're over. You know, sometimes when you have injuries, you over back check, and by that I mean everyone says, "Hey, we got to collapse around the goalie. We got to protect the goalie. We got to get back hard." And then you get back so deep, and everyone's behind the net, and there's a guy in the high slot scoring a goal. I think they did that a lot, which is normal. I think, you know, sometimes you just got to go out and say, "All right, get back to our game, and keep it simple." But their D-zone coverage was weak at times. And they in the Vancouver game, they gave up so many odd-man rushes. And, you know, I'll give Vancouver credit. They're a fast team, young kids that they don't care. They're going. You know, there's no pressure on them. They're mm-hmm. playing against one of the best teams in the NHL, and they just went out and played. But the Preds, you know, little turnover here, cough up a puck that they usually, you know, puck possession through the neutral zone that they take care of. They gave up those chances, and it was too many of them. So I think those are two things that they can be a lot better at, and they should be at home.
Hal Gill is with us, Preds radio analyst here on the show. What do you think about the goalie so far? I watched the Calgary game, and I never looked at those goals and thought, man, Soros is stinking the joint up or anything like that. But then I hear everybody else. I listen to the shows, and I listen to the callers, and I listen, and it's like, you know, Soros is a real problem, and I just don't feel that way.
No.
But everybody else does.
Yeah, well, who is everyone else? Because I, you know.
Maybe they're not as smart as me.
I you know, so I don't think I know every.
Oh, I was going to slide that one right by.
No. You're smart in other ways. What were you asking about?
Soros.
You distracted me when you said you were smart. Soros, I thought in that Calgary game, I thought he did everything well. You're going to give him a one-timer from the slot. There's a lot of times goalies are going to let that one in. I look at all those goals, and I don't put him at fault for anything. Rene. In that Vancouver game, that game could have been 5-0 in the first period, and it was only 2-0. So he was fantastic in that game. So I don't put any onus on the goalies. And to back to your point, I played in the NHL for a long time, and I still to this day will not put a goalie at fault without talking to another goalie, talking to Chris Mason, and saying, "Mace, what happened there?" You know, because there's so many little things. It's such a fine line between a beautiful save and a bad goal.
Oh, Mace will tell you how many times, especially during the playoffs, they let one in, and immediately I'm like texting, "Hey, was that his fault?"
Yeah.
and immediately he gets back to me, and it's so funny because then the next day I'll be like, I mean, Pekka's got to have that save. Pekka's got to have that third period save. I think he's got to. And then the people on Twitter get mad at me like, "You don't know what you're talking about." And, you know, Ekholm let him go. And I'm like, "I just texted Mace."
it's so true because it's the little movements. If you get a back, on the back side, if you have, Patrick Laine is on the back door with a one-timer, you can't play that shot like you normally would. You have to edge out to make that one-timer, and then Blake Wheeler scores a goal on you, and then you go, "Well, why didn't you just stop that puck?" Well, I have to worry about the guy in the back door too. Well, so there's little things like that a lot of people don't see.
And I think the injuries play as much of a role into that, Hal, because like the other night in the Calgary game, that an offensive zone turnover leads right to a goal.
Yeah.
And they can't get the puck out of their own zone. And I'm thinking, you know, P.K. Subban's out there. He's just going to sling it to Ekholm, go D to D, and then one of them's gone. You know, like, and they can't do that right now. Or right now I feel like, and this is where I was upset with the effort in the Calgary game, was I felt like the first goal, you know, Ryan Johansson in the first line, they're down there, or I guess whatever you want to call it. I mean, this isn't really the first line, but whatever it is. And they turn the puck over, and Calgary's coming up 1,000 miles an hour back to your end, and I just kind of felt like they were just floating out there while those guys went down there and they scored boom, 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 up 1-0 a minute into the game. And that really bothered me. Like that, I was like, okay, I get that all these guys are hurt, but I need the other guys that are in that I need them to at least put the effort in to get back and do, you know, you don't have to be great. Just don't, you know, just don't cost the team in that
regard. How many times have you seen to your point, they win a faceoff, Subban fires it down the ice, and Victor Arvidsson beats out the icing or gets that puck at the far blue line, and they're going. Right? I mean, that changes. That's what you're talking about. The turnover and the defensive zone.
Just standing at the line, and he goes with it.
Or they get it and carry it out. You know, that happens a lot. That's why Laviolette calls Arvidsson is the engine of that line. And he really is. And you know, so I really think Ryan Hartman has done a good job of trying to fill those shoes and be that engine. And he's been great at times. But that's tough shoes to fill with Arvidsson. But, to your point, I agree with you. That makes a big difference.
Hal Gill is with us. Let's take your calls for Hal. 615-737. Call me now. 615-737-1025 is the phone
number.
If you have a question,
call me,
for Hal Gill, here's his phone number, 615-737-1025. That's the number if you want to get in for Hal. Plus, I've got a big question about the coaching, about something I'm a little, I'm not sure about. We'll get into that coming up next. I'm not a coach, but I'm an analyzer of coaches, like a consultant. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM, Hal's with us at ESPN 1025 The Game. Jared and the GM are live at Bridgestone Arena. Hal Gill is with us, Preds radio analyst. Okay, so I have a question. And I know you're going to get mad at me, so I just want you to be prepared. Hal Gill brought to you by Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant. So I already know you're going to be mad about this. So I'm going to start.
Why would you ask it?
Because it bears asking.
Okay.
So I'm watching Peter Laviolette fangle these lines together, right? And I see, it's kind of like a revolving door of who's on that first line or whatever. But he's kind of settled in, and Hartman's up there. And why is he up there? Why is Sissons not up there? Why is Watson, who has played some, up there? I mean, I know Watson, who knows about him, but Watson's not been up there. Why Yarncroke, who played on the first line a couple of years ago when this team went into the second round of the playoffs, he's not up there? Like, why is he putting a guy like Hartman, who's not as good as those guys, up on the first line with Johansson? I feel like it is wasting Johansson's talent.
All right, well, were you here for the last segment when we talked about Ryan Hartman and Victor Arvidsson being the motor?
Oh, I think I was thinking about
You were probably thinking about something else. So, well, Victor Arvidsson is the engine for that line.
I know, but and Victor Arvidsson and okay. Ryan Hartman, that is disrespectful to Arvidsson.
No, well,
to even compare them.
You have to look at someone that plays that style, that pushes the pace, that is physical, gets on the forecheck. I think that's him. I love Sissons. I love Watson. But I love them playing together and playing against. And I tell you, Mika Salamaki has been fantastic as well. He's played some pretty good. He made mistakes. He's not perfect. But I think he's stepped up his game, and he looks good on that line. And they've had a big role in playing big minutes against a good line. So in a depleted lineup, I like the way that line is. And so now you have to try and figure out the rest. You need Yarncroke. He's playing as a center. There's different things you got to do when you're missing Kyle Turris out of the lineup. Now Bonino, who was sick, is now healthy. Now he's back up. He was playing fourth line minutes. Now he's feeling better, back into the second spot. It's tough. I feel for Lavi. He's had the hardest problem because he's just had all these great guys to put in different spots, and he can mess with it, and everything kind of works out, And now, he's got to make it, balance it, and try to, make everything work. And it's not easy with a lot of injuries. But I like Hartman on that line. Fiala, they moved him around all year, trying to find out, plug him in to where he can be successful, to get him out of the funk, to get him scoring goals. Who knows? They had a morning skate that was an optional, so we'll see what they have for lines tonight. But it's not easy. But I do like Hartman.
We were talking earlier, what would be wrong, or what are the thoughts behind bringing a guy like Tolvanen up and saying, okay, here you go. Get all the minutes. You got a chance to get a ton of minutes, a lot of playing time
now.
But
what's Johansson?
with whoever.
Yeah, I there's something to be said for that, but I don't think he's played to the level where he can be counted on for the bigger minutes, for battling. Right now, I think the team is in battle mode. You know, he's more of a guy that lurks in the weeds, and then, you know, you don't really notice him, and all of a sudden he has a goal and a couple assists at the end of the game. He's that kind of player. He's sneaky. He can find those open spots. But right now, this team has to battle to make those open spots happen. And that's where I think he's maybe not be the right fit. That doesn't mean they won't put him back out there and try to get him going. It just hasn't been, you know, hasn't been the fit. I think he's learned a lot, and his goal that he got was because he learned a lot. He made that move from the corner, quick jump to the net, into a spot where he could score, and I think that's something that you wouldn't see in the KHL, certainly. And in North America, you need to do that to be successful. So I think he's learning, but I just don't know if it's at the right time for him to jump into that role.
Is this team with the replacements, you know, you got two of the three out, you got your center defenseman, with the subs in there and the changing of the lines and all those things, is it a more physical team?
I think they want to be. The problem is...
That means no?
Well, the problem is you look at, you know, the old days, if you have, like, your first two lines... You have injuries in the first two lines. Then you're bringing up your plugs from the back end. You're bringing up your big boys, your fourth liners that are going to go out and run, and they're going to have to play bigger minutes. And now you look at it, you know, Salamaki played a hard physical role on the fourth line where you just go and bang, and he's moving up to the third line. But then you're calling up guys like Tolvanen. You're calling up Rocco Grimaldi. Grimaldi's a guy that's, you know, plays a tenacious game, but it's certainly not a big physical style. So I don't know if it's the way it used to be, where you used to be the goon it up to try and get a few wins. I think this is a team that still needs to play that fast game, but it's harder. It's harder. If you have one guy that doesn't, you know, you talked about it, Phil Forsberg, when he gets that puck and he makes a little move to the outside and then inside and breaks out of the zone, That's an exit out of the defensive zone that you don't normally see. And so it's hard to make up those plays.
So those guys are going to be out for a while. Hal Gill is with us. So, like, this is my thing is how does the team – put yourself back in your playing shoes. So you're a player on this team. How does the team not get in a funk mentally of, oh, well, we're hurt? You know, it's just is what it is. We got all these injuries. How are we supposed to win these games when we've got all these injuries? Like, how does the team avoid kind of that funk? Because they know they're not the same without Arvidsson and Forsberg, too. Like, so how do they keep themselves from,
All right. Well, see, you're forgetting about the mind of an athlete. You know, when I remember I was playing, you know, three or four D-man minutes, and there was an injury to the one or two guy, and I said... What do you think my response would be?
I'm going to go out there and show that I should be a one or two D-man.
Exactly. I wasn't going, oh, no, we lost one of our best guys. We're never going to win now.
Okay, but take a guy like Sissons.
As a professional athlete, you have to have that in you that I got this. Put me in, coach, right? These aren't guys that, like, you know, when you were playing junior high basketball, you were like, oh, no, I don't want to take the shot. These are all guys that grew up wanting to take the shot. You know, they want that opportunity. So I look at it as very different in that these guys are, they want this opportunity. This is their chance. Like I said, it's not easy, but they want it.
Now.
So that mentality, you know, that's what gets you to the next level. That's why when you have these injuries and you go out and you prove it to yourself that you can do it, like Mika Salamaki going in and getting a big hit against Chicago on a Saturday night and takes out Duncan Keith out of the game because he loses his mind. Salamaki did his job. That's what he was – that's a huge step up. He took out their best defenseman. So that's him stepping up in his way. It's not going out and being Philip Forsberg. It's going out and being Salamaki, but getting the job done nonetheless.
Now let me put the shoe on the other foot. You're David Poile. and you've got take a guy like Rocco Grimaldi, Ellie Tolvanen, and you've got these guys in your lineup right now who, generally speaking, would not be under, you know, complimentary circumstances. What are you looking at with this team? Like, if you're David Poile and you're watching this from afar, and by the way, David Poile goes in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame tomorrow. He will join us at 4 o'clock on set tomorrow. But you're David Poile. What are you looking at, and what are you seeing out of the team right now?
I'm looking at – this is a free peek into all what all these guys can do. I think that's – as a GM, you're saying, right? You're looking – you say, hey, these guys are – you know, we're going to have to sign these guys. Now we get to test them, see what they're all about. Not just one or two games, like you said. This is a bigger, larger segment where you have to step up and stay up. Can you do that? Can you rise to the level? And if they do get to that next step, then you say, all right, these are guys we want to keep around. And they know that. You know, they know that this is their chance. And, you know, I of course, as a GM, you got to say, how long are the injuries? Do we need to make trades? Do we need to, should we worry about this? But along the way, you're looking at, you're evaluating your talent. This is a chance to see Rocco Grimaldi go up and do his thing. Tolvanen, you, hey, what do you, what have you learned in the few months that you've been in the AHL in Milwaukee? What have you learned? What can you give us now?
Hal Gill with us. Last thing for you, Hal. Floyd said today he doesn't think I'll ever get married. What do you think of that?
There's got to be someone out there for you.
Well, I figured this. We talked about this earlier today.
Like, I drive down the road every day, and I go, how is that person functioning in real life? How can someone be that dumb? You know, like driving around the roads or seeing what stupid people do. I bet you there's someone stupid enough to marry you.
That's what I do. So this is what I told
it's
Floyd.
It's got to be.
This is what I told Floyd.
That's great.
I said, I think I am the number one bachelor in Nashville. Like, number one. Like, the most eligible bachelor.
Like, you'll be a bachelor for the longest time.
No. Like, if you're like a single girl, like, you would want to date me. Like, because, you know, you look at all the boxes. Smart, check. Funny, check.
Works, I know, well, people laugh
really
around
hard.
You, but that's not really.
Laughing at you and laughing
yeah,
with
you. Yeah,
it's
a difference.
Works very hard, check.
You do work hard. I'll give you that.
See,
if you're listening out there, if you're a young female listener or not male listener, I'm not going to judge. You do what you do, Jared.
I'm thinking, but like, I'm you know, qualify young, not too, you know, just, you know, I'm 28 or I'm 29 now, so somewhere in that range. You know, smart, funny, you know.
Desperate.
definitely not that.
No.
I would say, you know, handsome, check, plus, as I said earlier today, that's every box, Hal. Compassionate, genuine, modest, every single box checked.
Yeah. Well, you have confidence.
So do you think
that's attractive,
so
I think.
Do you think I will get married at any point in my life? Floyd says he does not think I'll get married.
Well, I, you know what? I feel like if you ever had a chance, you'd probably ruin it.
Well, I mean, I've had the chance to get married before. You know? I'm glad I
can just see everything going great, and then you'd be like, I got a hot take.
Yeah.
You know what? I got.
I think I'm going to do what Skip Bayless did. Skip Bayless, apparently, on the first date that he went on with his wife, told her, you'll never be more important to me than my job. I'm like, woo, Skip.
You know what? That's honesty. See, if you could be honest.
Then I could check that box, too.
Check that off. Yeah.
Exactly.
You got
Hal
a lot
Gill,
of attributes,
as
bud.
As always, thank you. Well, as again, every box checked.
Yep.
Hal Gill joins us again, brought to you by Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant. Predators game day next. Preds and Ottawa tonight. Live from Bridgestone Arena, it's ESPN 102.5.
Thanks, Hal.
Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's game day in Smashville, brought to you by the Nexus Group. What are Peter Laviolette's keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Predators Game Day brought to you by the Nexus Group, your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking, offering secure, reliable connectivity. Call the Nexus Group 615-221-4200 and do not get catfished.
unless it's on the ice.
Bingo. Preds tonight hosting the Ottawa Senators. The Predators are 19-10-1. Meanwhile, Ottawa, things not really going their way. They are 13-14-4. And this is a little bit of a break from the tough team that they played in Saturday in Calgary, in the Flames, who may be the best team in the Western Conference. They're taking on the Ottawa Senators. We start with the coach's take, and that's Peter Laviolette. Coach, what do you see out of the Ottawa Senators?
Right now, we're just focused on our game. We always do the same with the regard to the pre-scout and looking at the opposition and how they play. We'll make sure that we're prepared the right way. At the end of the day, it is about us and what we do and making sure that we're playing our game. So the routines usually stay the same, but when we do the focusing on what we can control our team and our effort.
Sounds A, a little sick, and B,
not much about the enemy.
No. What do you make of that?
Not much good, you can probably say.
Yeah, but that when Peter does that, because what Peter often does when a team stinks is he'll come and say, you know, I know their record's not very good, but if you look at it, they've been in almost all these games. You go to it, and they've got, 14 losses, but four overtime losses, and if they win those games, then where are they? That's usually what he says. This is like, hey, it's all about the Predators tonight, which makes me think that his message to them is take your heads out of your rear ends, which they were in Canada. I know they're hurt. I know it, but they did not play well in those two games there, especially Vancouver on Thursday, but especially Calgary on Saturday. They did not play well, and I think his message is, hey, I know you're hurt, but you're not playing very well. At least you didn't play well last weekend.
And this is a team that's been struggling here of late. I mean, the truth is, hurt or not, this is a game that you need to win and should win. Mm-hmm. And I think he's probably expecting that.
Injury report for the Predators. The same guys are still out. P.K. Subban out. Arvidsson out. Forsberg out. Turris out. Pekka-Rinne will return in net tonight. And that is, couldn't come at a better time. Meanwhile, the standings. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The Predators are still in first place in the Western Conference Central Division. However, Calgary passed them with the win on Saturday. They've got 40 points. The Predators have 39. Colorado has 39, too. Winnipeg is 1 point behind with a game in hand at 38. So the injuries taking their toll on the Predators' success is now, I think, making the Central Division more competitive, and at least bears watching when they get these guys back. Where in the division discussion are they?
Oh, they're going to be fine. I mean, they'll be leading the division. They get back and get
when everybody gets
again.
Healthy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, they'll be fine.
Ahead of Winnipeg.
Yeah. What are you saying?
You think everybody comes back, when Arvidsson comes back in 5 weeks and Forsberg comes back in 7 weeks, you think they're going to be ahead of Winnipeg in the division?
No. I said when it's all said and done.
At the end of the year?
Yeah, they're going to. They may fall, a few steps behind here. But, I mean, if they do, they'll more than make up for it.
Not if they dig themselves a hole, I think you and I would agree that them and Winnipeg, they're probably neck and neck, right?
Probably.
In terms of talent and overall. I think they're better than Colorado, but them and Winnipeg are certainly, Forsberg's out, Arvidsson's out, Turris is out, Subban's out. Now who's better?
Oh.
Seven-game series with the Jets. I'll take Jets in five.
I think we all would.
I mean, let's just be honest about it. And so I don't know, as long as these guys are out. And I still think that might be a good thing. I still think there's a chance that at the end of the year you have something to play for down the stretch. I mean, something you really got to play for. And then when April starts, you're going 100 miles an hour, which is what we all want to see.
Hal, the thing that struck me today that Hal said was when he was at Pittsburgh and they won the cup, they were in 11th place with, 25 games to play, mm-hmm, or whatever. Ended up winning the thing and going right through because they went into the playoffs so hot. They were playing so good. Things were going so well that they couldn't be stopped. So, I mean, if you do get behind, that's what you're hoping for, something like that.
What are we watching for tonight? Preds and Ottawa, 7 o'clock, right here on ESPN.
I think the thing is just what we said. This is a game they should win. We expect them to win. We need to go out, injuries or not, and play play good, win this game. They're not, you know, they're struggling a little bit. We know that. We need to take advantage of that and just continue on. We got back home. We're always better at home. Let's make the fans happy.
Tonight, 7 o'clock, the pregame starts in 5 minutes right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's going to do it for us. We will be live tomorrow at the JW Marriott downtown where the David Poyle Hall of Fame induction will take place tomorrow night. David Poyle will join us at 4 o'clock tomorrow live from the JW Marriott. We'll see you then tomorrow at 2.